Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
The Old Testament reading appointed for this day on this first Sunday in Advent is recorded in the book of Isaiah, the 64th chapter. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one had heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, we are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading for this day is from the epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. This also serves as today's sermon text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise as we sing together the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied and a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So, here we sit, ready and waiting to hear what the pastor has to say again this day. We're waiting and ready to hear what God is going to say to us again through His Word. You know, we spend a great deal of time in that mode of waiting. We are ready to see the doctor, but we're in the waiting room. We're ready to check out, but we are still waiting in line. We're ready to go home, but we're stuck waiting in traffic. Well, maybe not here in Fergus Falls, but those of you who are from the cities, maybe. We are ready to get home from work, but there we are waiting to pick up our child after school. You know, one study showed that we spend about 45 to 62 minutes, I don't know why 62, waiting every day. You know, that's close to 350 hours a year. That's just a lot of time that we're just sitting around doing nothing but waiting. You ever thought of what you can accomplish in that amount of time? We spend a great deal of our lives prepared and ready to go and to get things done, but time and again, we find ourselves waiting. And don't you hate it whenever you've been waiting in a line and you finally get to the front only to have the person behind the counter say, "Oh, you need your driver's license and you don't have it with you, or you need this document or this paper." And you've been waiting for an hour or so. Waiting isn't so bad if you're prepared when it's your turn. I love to watch kids opening up gifts at Christmas. They had been ready and waiting for such a long time. I saw a commercial of a girl on television who had one of these ornaments for the Christmas tree. It was a countdown to Christmas ornament, and she was very annoying throughout the whole commercial as she was going around telling everybody down to the second how much longer it was to Christmas. Children, we can see, especially long for Christmas to be here, to receive and open gifts. And they never have to worry about the details of getting ready for that day because they're always ready. They're ready and willing to open those gifts at any time. This longing for Christmas as a child is similar to the kind of anticipation that the children of God should have as they wait for Christ's return. As God's people, we are called to be ready and waiting. There is story after story that Jesus tells about being ready, ready for the coming of our King. There are Old Testament passages pointing to the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is what the season of Advent is all about, meditating on how we are preparing and making ready for the coming of our King. Paul wrote about our readiness in verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians. He writes, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. It's quite a statement that Paul is making there, that the Corinthians there lacked nothing when it came to their spiritual life. God had blessed them abundantly with the grace that he promised them in Jesus Christ, with the mercy to no longer look at their sins but to forgive them, to no longer look at their selfish ways in which they live, but now to continue to encourage by his Spirit through word and sacrament a life that truly lives as people that have been people blessed by grace and mercy. They didn't lack in any spiritual gift. The work of the Holy Spirit was truly alive and well among them. They were ready for Christ to come again, to be revealed to them. They were waiting, just as we wait, for our Lord's return. In baptism, we lack nothing. Today again, Blaine, along with all of us who have been baptized, lack nothing when it comes to the abundance of God's grace poured out for us there in this moment, in this sacrament. Christ will return, and with him will come all that he promised through his redemptive work for us. You see, you and I don't have to do anything to be spiritually prepared in the sense of somehow working off our sins and somehow working off our sins in such a way that we make God look at us and see that he looks upon us favorably. We don't have to do any of that because of what Christ has done. And that is that he lived that perfect life, that he is the one who lived for us the way we should have lived for God. It was him, this one, as I was talking with the kids earlier, who was laid in the manger at Bethlehem, who lived that holy life for our sakes. See, it would be this one who John the Baptist would point to and say, look, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. That Lamb had to be perfect, without blemish, as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Cleansed of our sins through the shed blood of Jesus and given a new hope through the resurrection of our Lord over death, we can anticipate the day too when we will rise from the dead to life everlasting. You see, like the Corinthian Christians, we too have been enriched in every way. And now we stand between redemption and when our Lord returns again, ready and waiting. Waiting for what? According to verses 8 and 9 of our text, God will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Waiting for that day. Actually, we're waiting for 3 days in our lives. First, we're waiting now in this time of Advent for the celebration of the first coming of Jesus. That seems to be the most obvious as we move toward Christmas Day. It's here that we find our Lord Jesus coming into the world, into the flesh, so that he would be put on the cross to shed blood for us and there die for us. It is here that we know what God has done for us through this one that we call Savior. Yet, Advent is also a time when we reflect on our readiness for another day. As Paul writes, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to what Paul says here, you and I have been made ready for that day. And he promises even to sustain us that are in fellowship and faith in Jesus Christ for that day. And on that last day, he will find us guiltless because, not of anything we have done, but because of Christ Jesus. How he took our guilt, our shame, and put it on the cross and put it to death there. We also look, you see, to Jesus' second coming, his final coming to this world with great anticipation. Because we do not know when that day is. It is good that we take time to hear God's word on this matter during this time of year. Unlike Christmas, that has a day designated for us to celebrate in our Lord's first coming, we do not know when this second day is, this day of his coming again. So in this first day that I was speaking of is Christmas, the second day being that of when our Lord returns in his glory. Yet there is a third day, as I mentioned earlier, that we are also waiting for. And this is the one that's inevitable in this world, the meeting of our final enemy, death. The day in which our soul will be taken into the very presence of God because of his abundant grace that sustains us. Our Lord comes on that day to bring our soul to himself in heaven. Once there was a pastor who had a conversation with his own family about death and dying. He was talking with them about a family member who had passed away the year before. And as they talked, they all remembered and reminisced about this one whom they loved and how they had been battling cancer for years before the Lord called them home. And eventually, the conversation turned to whether it's a good thing or a bad thing to know in advance whether you are going to die and what day that would be. On the one hand, you'd have time to prepare, but on the other hand, it might be better to go without having to think about it for too long. So they agreed that dying with little or no pain is what they believe would probably be the best way to face death. All agreed it would be better just to drop dead without having to dwell on it for any period of time. I'm not sure any of us would be too excited about knowing when that day is coming that the Lord will take us to our heavenly home. If the truth be told, we all know that the real issue is not when we are going to die, or is not if we are going to die, but when we are going to die. Because we know that human mortality is 100%. Some of us live as though we might somehow be the exception to this rule, but eventually it catches up to all of us. Hollywood star Woody Allen spoke for a lot of people whenever he said, "It's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens." There were three guys that were sitting around discussing their obituaries. One asked, "What would you like folks to say about you at your visitation?" Well, one of his buddies thought for a minute, "Well, I'd like for them to say about me that I was a great humanitarian who cared about the community." The fellow who had initiated the conversation replied, "Well, I'd like for them to say that he was a great husband and a father who was a good example to many to follow." And the two of them nodded in agreement, and they looked at their silent buddy, who without hesitation added, "Well, I'd like for them to say at mine, look, he's moving." No one really wants to face death, but we know, indeed, it's one of those days that's coming. And of the 3 days that we're waiting for, I'd have to say that the day of our death is probably the one that gets us the least excited. However, when we think about it, apart from the process of dying, it would be a great day, a glorious day for those who die in the faith because we know that our Savior is coming to bring us to our heavenly home, be it that day or the last day, the day of resurrection of all the dead. And it is on that day that there will be the greatest celebration ever held, the beginning of a feast that will last forever. So as we're getting ready for Christmas, rushing here and there, shopping, baking, cleaning, preparing for families and friends, remember all the work that Jesus did in getting prepared your salvation, your redemption, getting you ready for the day of His coming. Remember how He has prepared for you through that death on the cross, the forgiveness of your sins, and the rising from the dead on that day, that one day you will be raised from the dead to enjoy the greatest gift you would ever receive from this world, and that is to live forever with our Lord in His heavenly kingdom. May that be what we continue to anticipate as we move through not just Advent, but through the rest of our lives in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.